With us right now, State Representative Mandy Wright from Wausau. The budget passed the Assembly earlier today, and much like everyone expected, the Republicans loved what they passed, and most of the Democrats didn't. What's your biggest disappointment about this budget?
There are three enormous provisions in this budget that I don't think are fixable. The statewide expansion of voucher schools, as I've said many times, and its damage to public education. I also feel very strongly that we ought to be accepting federal funds to make sure that we have access to better care for our neediest families. It would save $100 million for Wisconsin, it would create 10,000 jobs, and it would insure 85,000 more people. And finally, the new tax codes, I've just been learning more and more about. The same tax bracket would affect people between approximately $20,000 and $320,000 income. And the greatest percentage of tax breaks goes to those who make the most money. So if you make over $300,000, you would see a break of about $120 a month in your taxes. However, the median family household, which is right around $54,000 in Wisconsin, would see less than $10 a month. And while I'm happy to cut taxes and want to see people have more money in their pockets, I think we need to be more strategic than that.
Now, your counterparts will argue that this makes the wide range in that tax bracket more like a flat tax, where those who pay more get more of a break. But most of the Democrats are saying, well, those who have more money can afford to give more money. So is that where you're at?
I'm not asking people to give more money. I just simply want them to pay their fair share, especially when we look at the economy in central Wisconsin, where we have seen very, very serious situations with job loss. Those are the families that we should be looking to help and make sure that they have the resources to put food on the table and get their kids to school and just meet their basic necessities. If we are continuously depriving services as well as making sure that people have less money in their pocket and they don't have the jobs they need, because after all, we are 49th in job growth through 2016, according to Forbes magazine, we really are doing a huge disservice to the middle class.
So with that argument in mind, what really is the fair share? Doesn't this present one make it more of a straight percentage for that entire bracket, or do you think that the upper brackets need a higher percentage?
That's a great question, and I think that what we want to see is that we would like to see more relief for our middle-income families. So those middle-income families are the ones that are working hard and doing all they can to get by, and people who already have economic advantages probably don't need an extra $200 a month. It's really the people who are struggling, who have just lost their jobs, that we want to make sure that they have a better future.
Looking ahead, do you expect the Senate to make any amendments that might make the budget more acceptable for you and then send it back Friday for a compromise?
Yeah, the Senate is fully in play. Senator Schultz has already said he would not vote for this budget. In fact, he has talked a lot about public education and how he feels that this will be the death knell for the rural districts in his district, the rural school districts in his district. We've seen Senator Cowles talk about not voting for this budget, especially because of public education. And just today, we saw several Republicans not vote for this budget in the Assembly. In fact, the chair of education, Representative Kessel, did not vote for this budget, and that vote speaks volumes.
A lot of the Republicans are saying that this budget gives an increase in student funding for the public school system. A lot of the Democrats are saying, yeah, but look what you cut a couple of years ago. Where are you at as far as the budget numbers for school per pupil aid to the public schools?
Last budget, we saw a cut of $550 per student. So I am for some money for education, but after talking to Joint Finance, it really is only $100 per student. So we really are behind. $650 per public education student, and that's simply not sustainable. All the school leaders that I talk to say that they can remain for a few more years, but they will have drastically cutting programming and staffing and maybe even shutting down schools. So we just really need to be honest about if we want a public education system, we need to fund it.
Some of your colleagues, like Representative Shanklin, for example, have been inviting people to get a hold of her in the next couple of days as the Senate does its debates. I'm imagining you're doing the same because you probably have some messages to take back to the Senate and to possibly a conference committee or re-vote on Friday.
Yes, absolutely. We really are completely unsure what will happen. The Senate is very close and only needs two votes to change it. So there may be amendments that are accepted. The budget may not pass. We don't know. So I am very, very happy to hear from constituents about what specifically concerns them. And I also strongly encourage constituents to reach out to their Senate representatives because, after all, they will be voting tomorrow on these very important issues.
I'm going to make a prediction, and you can tell me if I'm right here. When the news came out that the Assembly Democrats did not bring forward all the amendments that they were talking about, I thought that might have been good strategy on the part of the Democrats, because if the Senate will make one amendment, it forces it back to the Assembly, which basically buys the Democrats at least 24 hours or more to gain support for an eventual budget package. Was that the thinking in caucus?
That's an interesting thought. It's not really where we were going with our thinking. It really is that over the past 6 months, we have offered more than 200 amendments on the floor. And except for one or two, they have all been rejected on a party line vote. We had 105 amendments we offered in joint finance, and all 105 were rejected on a party line vote. So it seems rather foolish, especially in light of all that transpired last week and the really compelling stories that were told, as well as contacts from constituents, as well as facts and figures that we can provide. It seems that if the leadership is really set on a vote, they rarely let any of their members deviate from that vote. So we thought there's really no point in arguing it here. It's time to talk to people about it. It's time to talk to constituents about it.
And let's remind people, how do they get in touch with you?
Feel free to call my office. That is 608-266-0654.
State Representative Mandy Wright joining us today. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Larry.